Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What are the Urim and Thummim? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are looking at an article that was in the January 2013 edition of the Ensign magazine, an article titled, Great and Marvelous Are the Revelations of God. Yesterday, we were talking about how many Latter-day Saints misunderstand, and I would assume that many non-Latter-day Saints would also misunderstand the fact that the process of revelation given to Joseph Smith, allegedly by God, was not static, and that the Lord sometimes commanded Joseph to revise, update, or correct the written revelations. Now, of course, in our evangelical view of God, this is difficult for us to believe. Why would God need to have his prophet go back and correct and revise a revelation that he had earlier given to his prophet? Well, we go on in the article, and it talks about the gold plates, the Book of Mormon. And as we mentioned yesterday, there seems to be some kind of schizophrenia that's going on, or at least some kind of inconsistency among Latter-day Saint writers as to what the plates were actually made of. It says here that the plates were gold plates.
Twice it says it. Mm-hmm.
And as we pointed out yesterday, there was an article in the October 2011 Ensign. Well, there were several articles in the October 2011 Ensign.
What was dedicated to that whole issue of the Book of Mormon?
And what did it constantly emphasize? That the plates not being gold plates, but golden plates.
And that was used dozens of times, and there was only one time the word gold was used, and that was a quote from a previous speech.
It would be really nice if maybe in general conference sometime that Thomas Monson, being the head of the church and having all authority to speak on matters pertaining to Mormonism, would solve this mystery once and for all and tell us, were the plates made of gold or were they not made of gold? Was just Joseph Smith merely talking about color, or was he talking about the actual content of the metal? You know, they got a prophet to guide him. You think that he would actually function as a prophet and solve some of these dilemmas that are within Mormon history. Because if I read this article, and I don't know anything about the controversy over whether or not it's golden or made of gold, I would assume the plates were made of the metal gold.
Maybe there are some listeners out there who don't quite understand what's the big deal, gold or golden. Why are you harping on this idea of gold?
Because even Mormon apologists know that if the plates were actually made of the metal gold, there is no way that Joseph Smith could have carried them under his arm for a distance of 3 miles from where he dug the plates up out of the ground and then carried them to his home. At times, fighting off 3 attackers, jumping over a log, and then running at the top of his speed with these plates under his arm.
Where do you get the story at?
Well, the story comes from Mormon sources, primarily from Joseph Smith's mother, but it's not just Joseph Smith's mother's opinion we have to take. That story is repeated in vetted or correlated church manuals. It's a story that has been repeated over and over again, so we have to assume that is supposed to be an official account.
And when you do a presentation out on the streets of Manti and you have these replica plates, I don't think you've ever had anybody disregard that story or say that you are making things up.
No, I never have. They all tend to agree with that story as it's been portrayed in Mormon periodicals and in Mormon manuals. So there's no doubting that. The problem, of course, is if Joseph Smith actually had gold plates made of gold, the size of the plates given by Joseph Smith would mean that those plates that he was carrying weighed about 200 pounds. And even Mormon apologists are smart enough to know that's impossible. And I know a Mormon's probably thinking, yeah, but what about miracles? Because that is always the thing that is brought up. God allowed him to have the supernatural strength. Folks, if you believe that and you're a Latter-day Saint, just contact Brigham Young University. I'm sure that they have plenty of professors down there that will correct you on that, because nowhere do we find anywhere that Joseph Smith had supernatural strength given to him so he could carry the plates.
Well, he was a buff farm boy.
That's what we hear. But getting back to that argument, let's remember, if the plates were carried by some kind of miraculous intervention, there would be no need for Mormon apologists to try and get the weight of the plates down to a manageable level. They would not have any need to come up with this fabricated and far-reaching theory that somehow the plates were made of a Central American alloy called tumbaga, which was primarily made of copper and gold. They wouldn't have to do that. Just leave the plates made of gold, 200 pounds, call it a miracle, and let's be done with this. But they don't. They are bending over backwards to try to get the plates down to a manageable weight. So they know there was no supernatural intervention involved in this. Little bit of a distraction there, but to bring you up to speed to what this article is actually saying, now it's going to talk about how Joseph Smith translated these gold plates. What does it say, Eric?
Well, it says he described the instruments that we're talking about as spectacles and referred it to it using an Old Testament term, Urim and Thummim. See Exodus 28:30. He also sometimes applied the term to other stones he possessed called seer stones because they aided him in receiving revelation as a seer. The prophet received some early revelations through the use of these seer stones.
Now, we know that Joseph Smith had several seer stones, but the one that we often hear about is the chocolate-colored, egg-shaped stone that he found while digging a well with his brother Hiram. And now, this talks about the Urim and Thummim, and there is confusion in reading the statements of various Mormons about the Urim and Thummim and its relationship to the seer stone. Now, some say that they were the same. Some say that they're not. Let me read you a statement from 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith. He said this, and this is found in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 3, page 225 to 226. He said, "Seer stone, not used in Book of Mormon translation. We have been taught since the days of the prophet that the Urim and Thummim were returned with the plates to the angel. We have no record of the prophet having the Urim and Thummim after the organization of the church. Statements of translations by the Urim and Thummim after that date, are evidently errors. The statement has been made that the Urim and Thummim was on the altar in the Manti Temple when that building was dedicated. The Urim and Thummim, so spoken of, however, was the seer stone which was in the possession of the prophet Joseph Smith in early days. This seer stone is now in the possession of the church. While the statement has been made by some writers that the prophet Joseph Smith used a seer stone part of the time in his translating of the record, and the information points to the fact that he did have in his possession such a stone, yet there is no authentic statement in the history of the church which states that the use of such a stone was made in that translation. The information is all hearsay, and personally, I do not believe that this stone was used for this purpose. The reason I give for this conclusion is found in the statement of the Lord to the brother of Jared as recorded in Ether 3:22 through 24. And if you go to the book of Ether, in the Book of Mormon, it talks about this stone that was known as interpreters. But it says that the brother of Jared was supposed to seal them up.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what Joseph Fielding Smith is talking about, then that's why he doesn't assume that they're the same. But I'm still kind of lost on some of this, because there are so many confusing statements regarding this alleged Urim and Thummim and the seer stone. We do know that many Mormons have readily admitted now that Smith did use a seer stone, and he put the seer stone into a hat, and by reading characters off of that seer stone and read to his scribes, this is how we got the modern Book of Mormon. In fact, Daniel Peterson, who's a BYU professor, a Mormon apologist, he was interviewed for the PBS program called The Mormons, and this is what he said. He said, "We know that Joseph didn't translate the way that a scholar would translate. He didn't know Egyptian. There were a couple of means that were prepared for this. One was he used an instrument that was found in the plates that was called the Urim and Thummim. This is a kind of divinatory device that goes back into Old Testament times. Actually, most of the translation was done using something called a seer stone. He would put the stone in the bottom of a hat, presumably to exclude surrounding light, and then he would put his face into the hat. It's kind of a strange image for us," Dr. Peterson says. Certainly it's a strange image. One of the reasons why it seems strange to me is he's not looking at the plates.
Right.
He's looking at a rock. He has his face buried in a hat. He's not even looking at the gold plate. So why did he even need to go dig them up in the first place and put risk to himself?
What were these seer stones used for normally in the day of Joseph Smith, and what did he use them for?
Well, they used them in folk magic, and sometimes they were supposed to find buried treasure and things like that. And we know that the Smith family was very much involved in folk magic. Joseph Smith was involved in folk magic. So there is a connection that makes sense when you throw a seer stone into the mix.
It would help him with buried treasure and other kinds of finds that he was always looking for.
And that's part of the controversy regarding Joseph Smith's earlier years, was the fact that he claimed he could find buried treasure. But the confusion comes from, well, was it the seer stone? Wasn't it the seer stone? Did he use it to translate the Book of Mormon? Didn't he use it to translate the Book of Mormon? There seems to be plenty of witnesses that testify that he did, in fact, put a rock in a hat and drew the rock up to his face to exclude the light and to read characters that were off of that rock.
And according to this article that we're into, after 1830, when he founded the church, it says he stopped using the seer stones as regular means of receiving revelations. Instead, he dictated the revelations after inquiring of the Lord without employing an external instrument.
We want to talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, about what exactly was a Urim and Thummim according to the Bible. But the fact remains, folks, that we have Emma Smith, David Whitmer, Martin Harris, William Smith, all of them said that Joseph Smith did in fact use this seer stone, put it in a hat, and he read the characters off of the stone, and that's how we got the modern Book of Mormon.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic in the state where we live. Oftentimes, we may feel frustrated in understanding what is perceived to be the state religion. If you are a Latter-day Saint who needs some honest answers to your questions, or perhaps you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the predominant religion in this culture, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be your resource on truth. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry founder Bill McKeever has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the historic Christian faith. At www.mrm.org, we have an active blog site, dozens of articles and video tools that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live presentation to equip your church body to be ambassadors for Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website, again, mrm.org. We're here for you.